Off the Ball. GAA.
We've sort of seen Galway this year with that renewed confidence and a bit of a swagger for a couple of those games, the Derry, the Mayo game in particular.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #thetoughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod. It's right before us. The All-Ireland Final is nearly in touching distance. Just over 5 weeks away. It's Knockout Championship at last. Finally waved goodbye to a couple of counties that shouldn't be there this long. We've heard that there's a document circulating in the CCCC that they're strongly recommending changes next year to the format. We know there's changes coming with the football rules as well. But boys, this weekend, James and Paddy, we finally got a bit of excitement. Right?
Mm. Good to see a bit of knockout football coming. Do you know, I think it's needed for the championship. You say goodbye to four teams. None of them got a point in the groups. So you'd have to say they deserve to go. So it's Clare,
Cavan, Mead.
Cavan, Westmeath and Meath all gone and no points. So
Westmeath, the only team really that competed.
Westmeath actually did make a good fist of it. They did make a good fist of it, yeah. They had a good last year as well. Came down to the last game, but they just missing something. But it's good now that there's a bit of do or die because the championship needs it. That's what GAA is. That's what football is, I think. When you're playing, when it's all on the line. Groups are fine and everything. It's good to see the top teams playing each other. But when it's all on the line and there's that fear factor, you're like, if I don't get this ball, we're done for the summer. Do you know, like, I think you need that bit of fear in you to make it proper championship.
But lads, we've had how many games? Four groups over the last four weekends. When this draw was made, all three of us and the man in the street would have picked those four teams to finish last.
All right. Yeah.
so we've just
wasted. It was only a matter of time.
We've wasted a month of our lives to get to this point. So I know I've seen Gerard Burns' comments that there will be a change in this. Credit to some patronage, but Westmeath were the team that we felt might potentially do something. I thought they might nick a point or a win somewhere along the way. Very similar. They got a really tough group last year as well, Desi Dolan and his guys. And the other three teams were not at the races at this level. So that's done. We're into, finally, I agree, we're into knockout stages. The draw was this morning a little bit underwhelming. One marquee game, I feel. But again, I can kind of pick who's going to win these games.
Yeah.
Maybe the loud Cork one.
That's expected, though, because you want the strongest ones in the quarters. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't want them all to meet each other now and next thing the quarters are a shit show altogether because all the good teams are gone. Do you know? But I think the quarters would be a good round now because if it goes as expected, there's going to be eight very strong teams.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to last year's Premier League quarterfinals where we obviously had the Galway Mayo game sticking out as the kind of big one. You know, Cork Roscommon was close, Kildare Monaghan was close, and then Tyrone bet Donegal well last year, if people remember that. But okay, before we get into the drama, because by God, was there drama this weekend? I want to give you the draw, and then I want to make a little point before we get into it, right? So the draw, right? First of all, the results, actually. Derry 2-7, Westmeath 9 points. We'll be talking about that a little later. Coming down the stretch, Westmeath had drawn it back to a point. So low scoring, but Derry had the ability to get the two goals. Roscommon concede 120, as you'll know from James's Monday Minute earlier on. They concede
great
120,
minute.
Yet they
great minute this week.
My favourite minute
Paddy.
Of the week.
Was it? Favourite of the season.
Oh, fantastic.
Rugs up there. It's getting better every week. The bar is just getting higher and higher and higher.
Let's start the clock. Roscommon 320. Donegal, I've lost the score that Donegal put up. They won by 24 points. At one stage in this game, Clare only had a point on the board. They added a few more later on. So it was 223 to 5 points. So it was a 23-point win at the end.
That can't Tyrone be 118. At this stage of the championship. Like, that is...
No. And look, Clare entering that game, knowing the... probably going to be beating Donegal knowing they need to rack up a score. It was a dangerous blend and it could have been a lot more embarrassing even though that's not a great scoreline. Paddy, we're both in Tullamore. Tyrone and Cork, which we should chat about in a little while. This one hinged on one moment, really. It's like, if Sean Powder's pass reaches Chris Oak-Jones and Morgan takes him down and Morgan gets the black card. Cork probably win this game, but it's just a touch overcooked. It's a touch overcooked and Jones gets the black card and Tyrone brilliantly going on.
I thought the tide was turning before. Okay. I thought it was... Anyway, we'll get into it, but... No, I know what you mean. Tyrone get the goal. I think they get 1-2 during that black card, but I thought the tide was turning even before that black card for Cork.
Okay, we'll touch on that a little later. Sunday then. Going to go through these quickly. Monaghan 117, Meade 114. You were there, Paddy. Sorry stuff from Meade on their championship.
That was a tough task, but
we'll come back to it. Loud 110. They could have probably got three goals here, but they were well beaten by Kerry, 221. And then we had the two draws. And, like, James, I know that you're putting together a really detailed proposal to bring to Special Congress on your own this December of banning the fisted hand pass. I don't know whether this weekend is going to suffer from it because we had two unbelievably well-taken fisted points to secure draws for Armagh and Dublin. Supi Campbell and Cormac Costello, who somehow regained his footing and put it over with his left hand. Campbell's one creeping over the crossbar. Unbelievable drama, which we will get to in a few minutes. Do you think that damages your planned proposal to ban the fisted point? Or does it enhance?
It's a crusade.
I don't think that it is going to be banned, but I think that it strengthens it because it just proves that it's the safer option. The fact that they both went for fisted points at the end means it is the safer option. You'd rather see Costello there maneuver or make some sort of maneuver to get a shot off with his foot or McCaffrey taking it. I must say, it was Costello's one especially was outstanding footwork. To hit the deck, get up and flick it over with the left. And it proves as well. And I was never one for left-handed hand pass. I'm right-handed, left-footed. But like to have two hands and 2 feet is so important. Like if he only had a right hand there, he'd have had to scoop it over. The ref probably would have done him for throwing it. So to have the left hand and have the power on it, it showed a nice bit of skill. A great score, I thought, in fairness.
Skills pay the bills, lads. That is the gig.
Paddy, there's more to it than this, probably. But that just reminds me of the warm-ups in DCU. I was there a little bit around it. Of Mick Bohan's one ball under each arm, right foot, left foot, right hand, left hand. That's your first 15 minutes. You're not even stretching. You're just getting those kicks and those hand passes in. It's probably a bit more to that, but like you could just see it there.
There's not much more to that. That is relentless for years and years and years. Every single training session, two balls, right foot, right hand, left hand. Onto tennis balls then, before you even get started. And you can see it. It gets you out of jail. It gets you out of jail. But that is years and years and years in the making.
Yeah.
The only thing with solo is, I still think the solo is coached incorrectly. It should be right hand, left hand, right foot. That's how you go at speed. That's how your trunk rotates. That's how you run. You can't run straight back and left hand, left foot, or straight back, right hand. Those people carrying
Tomas
the ball
O'Shea,
like that are not.
Tomas O'Shea. That's the
best. But
Tomas, Clifford, Declan. James, Declan.
Does Cliff do right hand, left foot? I was by the book. I was a big bower and basser, left hand, left foot, right hand, right foot. Textbook stuff.
It does come in handy. I suppose if you're running down the line and there's a man tackling you on the other side and you literally have to go right hand.
Yeah,
right,
I'll just go to the other side. Whatever's furthest away from the guy tackling it.
Yeah,
easy piece.
And use your free hand then as a weapon.
Exactly, a baton, just like gah. Judo chop to everyone. Get away from me.
They were the All Ireland series results, and then the Tatchin Cup quarterfinals. I call this one Antrim Bet Fermanagh, a late surge.
You
111
did.
To 11
you did.
Points.
You did.
Andy McAtee's side back in the Tatchin Cup semi-finals. We've got Sligo who put a pace then on Limerick, ending their season 220-9 points.
As expected.
Down 118, Wicklow 12. Wicklow put up a good challenge for quite a bit of this game, but down pulling away late on. And then Kildare, their sorry season is over. 12 points to Laois 211. A really impressive Laois performance there. Glenn Ryan stepping down in his management team very quickly after the game. I think we all knew that writing was on the wall from probably March and this one. That's that year done. We may come back to that a little later on. I don't think we're going to have much time to get into the losers here, which might be good news for anyone from Cavan, Clare, Westmeath and Meath. But there we go.
I think we should talk about Meath.
just to get to the draw, James, before we get to that. The draw this weekend, you've mentioned already, we have got Galway against Monaghan, Pearce Stadium, Salt Hill, 4 o'clock, Tyrone Roscommon, Healy Park Oma, 5 p.m. on Saturday, Mayo Derry, a 6-day turnaround for Mayo. That is their reward for putting it up to the All-Ireland champions and just falling short. McHale Park, 6:30 p.m. And then on Sunday, we've got Loud Cork, 3 o'clock, Inneskeen. All four games are live in GA Go. Paddy Andrews, how are you going to be four places at once this weekend?
Three places at once. Unfortunately, we're not going to... We won't be... I think they're broadcasting, but the...
They're dual screening it, probably.
The Tyrone Roscommon game, yes. So we're going to be in Castlebar on Saturday evening, and we'll have the Galway Monaghan game, and then we'll be live from the Mayo Derry game, and then we'll be in Inneskeen on Sunday for Loud and Cork, which is probably...
That's going to be a cracker.
I think that will be the tightest game of the weekend, and it's the only one, in my opinion, where the third placed team, I think they'll win. I think Cork will nick it against Loud.
Wow. That's, I think three of the games are very tight. I think the Galway will beat Monaghan. I'd actually nearly have Monaghan at the moment, the most out of form side. I'd have them nearly kind of bottom of the pick. But then, like, Roscommon will put it up to Tyrone. No doubt.
I agree
about
with
it.
You. Roscommon
are scoring freely. And Tyrone are conceding freely. Like, even Cork's full forward line did damage the weekend. Like, Tyrone aren't defending as well as they can. Derry have not gone away. Like, everyone thinks that Derry are...
Are we going there now, are we?
Not. No,
we
but that's all right. We'll say...
We need a pod every night this week to talk about Derry.
No,
Mayo have not suddenly turned into the top team, do you know?
The only thing I'd say on Mayo...
I disagree with you.
That was a performance yesterday which I didn't think they still had in the locker. I know they didn't get the job done, and there was a couple of areas... Maybe not as clinical at times, the mentality that they had the game won. But there was a lot of good stuff from Mayo that I wasn't sure that they had, this group had in the locker. So you have to say they've credit in the bank from that. We spoke about how unlucky they were to lose the Connacht final, the last play of the game. They could have been the Connacht champions. Different story. And just on form-wise alone, I agree with you, Jimmy. We're all waiting on Derry. They can't be that bad that quickly. From where they were 2 months ago, 8 weeks ago, the quality of players they have, but they have watched every one of their games in the championship. It has been a complete and utter systems failure for them across the board. They won on Saturday night, but I mean, are you telling me that was a corner turned or that was convincing from them? You just have to say what everything we've seen in the championship, you have to be saying that's a Mayo victory there.
James, I want to let you in here because I witnessed Mayo's performance up front, and we're going to get into it in depth over the next little while. I was so impressed by so many aspects of that performance. But I will say, James, before I let you in here, lads, that is a dream draw for Derry. Like, they don't have the bullshit and the drama of facing Tyrone, which we were all hoping for. They don't have the added factor of Mickey Hart going back to Loud, which would have had the Loud boys riled up. They're going to Castlebar against a Mayo team who laid it all out in the line against Dublin and were crushed. Like, the likes of Jordan Flynn coming off the pitch at the end of the game, they were absolutely gutted. They knew they had that game in their hands. They knew they had actually spiced up the entire summer for everybody. Like, it was the Mayo train was back. And we're going to get into that.
But that is the point.
Do you know what it also is for Derry, just before you come in on Mayo, Jimmy? There's no more second guessing now for them as a group. You nearly want to go, what's the toughest draw, and we'll fucking find out here on Saturday. Put us out of our misery, or we're back. There's no ambiguity now. It's like they're either going to go and get wiped and just knock this whole thing on the head, and it's been a complete disaster, or they are back. It's black and white on Saturday.
But Paddy, you do think Mayo will win well? You said just it before the pod.
I'm not saying any recovery from Derry. I know they won the other night, and it's just...
Okay, I want to let James in here.
They're individual players. I'm still not seeing it. You could make a case, and I'm sure Jimmy will, because they've got quality players in there, but it ain't happening for them. It is just... They just look like a beaten docket.
Let's hear you, James. Come on.
Go on, Jimmy.
Don't go too strong on this because I know it's going to be, he's going to clip the shit out of it.
give this man a megaphone.
Start the clock.
Man a megaphone in the middle of the Craigan. James O'Donoghue, take it away.
Everyone I've said this to today, everyone in the country is backing Mayo. Or everyone, sorry, everyone, fucking everyone in the country. Everyone in Kerry
it's is like Bryson DeChambeau. Let everyone in the country touch his trophy.
Everyone is saying that Mayo are back. They're going to win this after this great performance against Dublin. That's great. But even last week, I said that Mayo are going to come against Dublin and they are going to give it absolutely everything. And they're going to come up short. And they're going to be upset. They're going to be cross. They're going to be disappointed. And you could even see McStay after the game. He was absolutely cracking. He was actually gutted because they'd left it after him. They put so much into it. They've left it after him. They've come second in the group. And now they have to go and play a team who are completely under the radar, written off, destroyed in the media. They're saying that the management team are a joke, that the players don't get on, with the management team. They're coming in such a strong position. As Paddy said, it's a case of put us out of our misery now or else we're going to kick on.
Yeah.
And I think that Mayo were excellent the weekend, but it's still Dublin not at their very best and Mayo at their very best, I think. So for Mayo now, have to hit that level again. And I think that Derry are going to be waiting for them. And if I was in that Derry dressing room, I'd be thinking, this is our time. Let's get back to where we were. That Westmeath game was just a game to get over, get through it, get the points, get through. Now their season starts. They were after losing 3 on the bounce. Like they were at an all-time low. And now they've got their win and they're set up now to launch a huge performance. Like Mayo have not suddenly turned into one of the top teams in the country just after that result. It was in the Hyde. Dublin can't play out of Croke Park, as we know. They are not going to win the All-Ireland from here. If anything, that result could hinder Mayo because they were so brilliant and they came up short. If they'd hung on and won by a point, I would say fair play to them. Now they're a threat. But the fact they're just that disappointment and have to go again this weekend against a formidable Derry side that won the National League, have been knocking on the door for a couple of years, have unbelievable individual players like McGuigan, Glass, Rodgers.
Who haven't been playing well, Jimmy.
Can you click together, James?
I agree with elements of what you're saying, right? I actually think you're being a little bit dismissive.
It's a game of opinions.
But I do want to hear how you think, like, McFaul was speaking on GAA Go afterwards. He was giving the man a match award and he said, we haven't become a bad team overnight. Conor McCluskey was speaking to John and Higgins.
We've become a bad team over 8 weeks. Not over eight weeks.
And then McCluskey was speaking to John and Higgins for off the ball and he spoke about the anger in his goal when he took that shot. Like, clearly they're hurting. Clearly they're trying to stick together.
They lost to Donegal.
How can they turn this around?
On kickouts. They lost to Donegal on kickouts. They did. No. They lost to Donegal on a malfunctioning kickout.
Okay, Armada.
Do you know what? They did the same against Armada.
It wasn't. It was turnovers. It was different.
That's fine. Those things are rectifiable.
But have they been rectified yet?
They haven't. They were under so much pressure. They're on such a low. That's why the Westmeath game was just get that done. Get that win under the belt. And I think they can start from here. I agree. I think that everyone is going to say Mayo favourites. But if you get into the mindset of both sets of players, Mayo are coming from that disappointment. They had Dublin there by the throat and they left their foot off it. Whereas Derry questioned, you know how those teams react to that kind of stuff. Questioned, doubted, written off. That's when they come and they put in that performance. I'd be shocked if they rolled over and got beaten comfortably by Mayo. Shocked and disappointed in them. Because those players I actually have good time for. The ones I mentioned, McGuigan, Glass, Rodgers. Like, these fellas are top players. They can't just roll over.
I think you should be doing a Friday minute to preview the weekend's action as well as your Monday minute. Because you've sold that, James.
Someone from Derry was talking to you today, weren't they? It's the best game, obviously, by a mile. And whoever got, with Derry finishing third, there was going to be a blockbuster game there involving Derry. It's Mayo. I'm not saying Derry are going to roll over. You expect, because purely of the quality of players, not that they've shown this, those players, in the last 6 to 8 weeks, but what they've done over 3 or 4 years, they have the potential to pull something out of the bag. But I'm just saying, everything we have seen in the championship to date, it's not that those players are not playing well for Derry. There's the tactical stuff. Yeah. There's the structure on kickouts, the game plan, all the off-the-field stuff. 95% was probably complete and utter shit. But there's just an aura around Derry, a negative one. And they didn't really dispel that. They won the game on Saturday night, and you could just get out of there. Just win and win a game and break that rot. They did that. And of course, they have the potential to turn this thing around and play like they did 8 weeks ago. And then you would say they're favourites against Mayo. But they're so far, they've fallen so far off those standards as a team collectively, but also individually. It is a major, major ask for them to turn that around. Of course, they have the potential to do that. And Jimmy, that's the case you made. For Mayo, the drawback, or what I was surprised with Mayo.
Don't get into the game yet, because I have to take
a break. No, I'm not getting into the game. I'm just saying the reaction from them, I agree. They looked absolutely devastated. Mm. And it's... I know they're close to winning the game, but it's a draw. Like, you're still I know all that, but just the body, it's just a bad look. Even just get off the pitch and get ready for next. I was just surprised at how dejected universally all the Mayo.
It was led by McStay. The camera kept going to McStay.
I know.
And McStay was like, "Fuck's sake, he was cracking up." He was absolutely heartbroken.
But I just thought that was surprising considering it was a draw and they're still in the championship. Now the top place is key, but that kind of just stood out to me looking at the finale.
I tell you what, right? I think we had underappreciated, because I don't think they were flying, but I think we had undervalued the importance that Mayo had put on top in the group this time around. McStay, any time we come across him this year...
He had spoken about rhythm,
being in control, and... Mm. They were ready, lads, and we're going to get into it now. They did so many things so right at the weekend. They put all their eggs in beating the Dubs this weekend. I don't know what they have gone on and won the All-Ireland if they won it at the weekend. But it would have actually... But it would have actually justified everything McStay has been building if they had got the job done at the weekend. It would have cleared up a lot of questions.
Again, Tommy. I know. We get to, just they have to... You can't. No one's going to win the All-Ireland in the fucking group stages. Like, I get they put massive emphasis on, of course they should, because they're backing themselves to win. And they came very close to it. But you need 3 or 4, in their case now, massive performances to win this thing. So they just have to go again. Yes, the ideal thing is they wouldn't be playing, from Mayo's perspective, to hang on for the last 30 seconds. They have 2 weeks until they need to perform again at Croke Park. They just have to do it next Saturday night in McHale Park instead. That's the challenge of the structure of this championship. And I don't think they're going to win the All-Ireland. Jimmy, you don't. Not many people do. Okay, maybe they've bumped themselves up a couple of notches with yesterday's performance, but that team and McStay think they're going to win the All-Ireland. So their mindset shouldn't have really changed much. Okay, there's a disappointment, but they know we need to get 4 serious performances back-to-back to win this thing. And
it's 2 minutes. It's actually five, because including the Dublin game. Dublin, Derry. Quarterfinal, semi-final, final. It's the hardest route of all time. It is actually, that's why they were so good at, because it's actually almost come impossible for them. It's too much of a challenge for them now. But you know what I would say about Dublin is, they're the bravest side. They have so many flaws at the back, right? But they're the bravest side. Cluxton put it down, kicks it on top of Kilkenny, who fetches it, and off they go at pace, get the score. It's like, that's winners. Do you know what I mean? And like, you can say anything about form or about, you know, questions or anything about a team. When you have that in your gut to be able to do that, like, that is so powerful. There's so many teams who don't have that.
I'm going to come to you first on that. We're going to take a quick break on Monday's episode of the Football Pod. We will have a members pod on Wednesday where we'll be previewing in depth the 4 preliminary quarterfinals at the weekend. We've also got the Tailteann Cup semi-finals on Sunday. The pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, hang tight. We'll be back in a moment. You're very welcome back to Monday's episode of the Football Pod. James,
what impressed you about Mayo at the weekend in their 17 points apiece draw with Dublin?
Not much by the sounds of things, huh?
No, I was very impressed. Jesus. I was very impressed with Mayo, and they played excellently. They played very well. The thing that impressed me the most, I suppose, was their full forward line and the way they were able to chip off some points when they needed them, especially. And in fairness to Ryan O'Donoghue, they do have a player who is at the top of his game and at the top of the game. And as well, do you know,
do you think you had mentioned, and it was, I thought it was a valid point, Mayo didn't have any player in the top 10 in the country with this Mayo team like they had before. Is Ryan O'Donoghue, not just, I thought he was exceptional yesterday, but through the championship, obviously starting off and scored about 120 against New York. Is he moving into that category now? Does yesterday push him up a level there? I thought he was brilliant.
I think so. I think if you do it against Dublin or Kerry or Mayo, like, I think that does take you into a new level. I think he does show a lot of leadership. He's no problem pulling the trigger. And you know what as well? He's no problem missing. I've seen him before. He misses, he'll do it again, he'll kick again. He'll pull the trigger. He likes the responsibility. And the other person who I thought stood up well yesterday was Ruan, who's gone quiet for a while, but he popped up for a few points yesterday. I was actually not disappointed, but I was surprised that McStay took him off because...
He picked up a knock, 100%.
I don't know, because he was shaking his head coming off. He was not happy.
No, I don't.
Do you reckon he picked up a knock?
I was looking at him. He looked like he was... No, I could be wrong. I should have clarified it with McStay after the game. I didn't when I was talking to him, but I thought looking on, he picked up a knock.
No. maybe so, but I thought there was a score in him. He looked like a fella who fancied it. Do you know,
they didn't put him on Fenton.
I can go through that with you now. There's a few bits that I want to go to you about, James, and I want to hear both of your takes on this, right? I was supremely impressed with a number of things from Mayo. They were absolutely, as they would have been from before, courageous in the manner in which they set up. Now, back in that time when they were going full throttle with your team, Paddy, I would have thought they had the players of the calibre to do it. Like, I wasn't sure that they had them this time around.
I don't buy this. Because this thing of, they went man for man or whatever, like, what else are they going to do? Get 15 men behind the ball and just park the bus again? That's not Mayo ever. I don't think that's Mayo ever. They're always up and at it.
Okay, but we're doubting whether they have the players to do that. And they did have the players to do that with the All-Ireland champions. And they should have beaten them. They really should have beaten them. Like, you had Dave McBride.
But?
They didn't. You had Dave McBride going up against Conor Callan. Now, Conn at times looked like he was going to cause him serious trouble. But there was two or three massive moments where it was a one-on-one battle and McBride came out on top. You had Sam Callanan at times doubling up on Conn or else going on Cormac Costello. An unbelievable battle. Costello was off the charts. But Callanan comes out of that game with so much credit. Mm-hmm. He had one unbelievable turnover on Paul Mannion when it was one-on-one inside and it led to the equaliser. Costello gets
the ball. The ball that went up in the air.
Gets passed up in the air and Callanan turns it over and it leads to the lead score, actually.
But like, that was un-Dublin, wasn't it, to kick it up in the air that time. I couldn't believe that he misfired that pass. But go on, sorry.
The other thing that I would say, they pressed the kick out. And this is just serious credit to Clarkson. I don't know if he has the range that he even had last year in terms of distance. Or maybe he didn't need it. But he was able to pick out pockets on the wing time after time. And Mayo's press, they were so unlucky that they didn't get a little bit more joy off it. They only actually forced one, I think, or two kickouts off Clarkson. It was just ridiculous. But in the second half, Clarkson lent on going to Brian Fenton, went to him with three of the first six because Fenton was spoiled in that game by somebody who I couldn't believe was man-marking him. And now it's the second time Donald McHugh has done it, but McHugh and Fenton is not a matchup you would put on paper. Yeah, it really isn't.
A surprise.
He had paws on him off the ball the whole game. He kept Fenton out of it in terms of an attacking sense. But Jesus, lads, the work Brian Fenton got through off the ball, the turnovers he was involved in, the big play on Ryan O'Donoghue, where I think credit has to go here to the referee McNally and his umpires. I thought it was a foot block first time around. I don't know how Brian Fenton didn't. And I know it was said in the Sunday game that it could have been last night, but I just think Fenton's leading with his hands. It's a genuine attempt at the block. He comes from nowhere and he stops a certain goal. Like, it was a brilliant call.
But you know what? And on Fenton in particular, right? He's, for me, I think he's the best player in the game. He's potentially, the next month or so goes well, this fella could win his third football of the year. He's that level of player. But he's man marked in every game. Teams target him. Of course they do. And this is the point he was making. We were chatting about Dublin Roscommon only a couple of weeks ago, where John Small goes man to man on Enda Smith and takes him out of the game. And if you're that big a player, if you're that good a player, no matter who's on you, no matter what the opponent is doing to you, you have to impact the game somehow. And Fento, I'd love to see him, and I have seen him, and neutrals love to see this guy going up and kicking four or five raking points, which you know he can, and fielding high balls and stuff. But sometimes you're just being taken out of the game, and that's your A game. But your mentality is, if I can't do that, I'm going to impact this game somehow. The best players, no matter what is happening, it's a mentality. I'm gonna do something here to impact this game, even if I can't do all that stuff that I love to do. And Fento, you mentioned it, work rate, tackles, blocks, not the sexy stuff. Not many. I definitely didn't love doing that, Jimmy. I know you did. Not many players do, but that just shows the character of that guy, along with all the football skills he has. So I just wanted to big up Fento on that. But it was brilliant from McStay and brilliant from Mayo, because that is not something we've seen before, or not something I expected to see.
Do you know the only thing with that is, and it's definitely a corner forward's perspective, is the game is man on man. Like you have a man and you're being marked. But then people say, oh, he was playing in the half forward line, and in fairness, he was man marked, sure, he couldn't do anything.
that's
the game. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I go, if it's man for man, it's 15 on 15. There's 15 1v1 battles, or 14 anyway.
But Jimmy, it's different outside the full forward line, particularly now.
It is.
It's like,
I know.
It's like 12 on 12, up and down the pitch. You just create spaces. You're not tagged as aggressively.
Whereas but the best fellas have to be tagged. That's the way to beat Dublin. You have to quieten Fenton. That's why Jack Barry was very good at that side of the game, following him, turning, you know, tracking his runs. What happens to other teams is they use their defenders as extra bodies in defence. So they actually get their defenders back, maybe in front of their full back line or maybe in front of their centre back, and leave the opposition midfielders do as they please. If you do that with Fenton, as you said, he's the best player in the country by a mile. It'd be like leaving an inside forward free without marking. You just can't do it.
Yeah, I do agree that the point, and I was sort of making it, but Paddy, you made it better, that he deserves credit for how he impacted the game when he was spoiled so much.
There was a moment, but there was a moment. Yeah,
there was a moment in the first play where McHugh had the paws all over him, and Fenton was screaming for a free off the ball, and the ref looked, he considered it, and he didn't give it. That could be a tone changer in another game if somebody's trying to spoil Brian Fenton, where he gets that and it's loud. But the game was about flow yesterday. There were so many turnovers, and it added to the enjoyment of it. It was like a little bit uncharacteristic from Dublin, but Mayo were forcing them.
Too uncharacteristic.
The other things, right? And I'm going to let you in on this, because this is where I think you could be right, James, your theory, and maybe I'm giving a little bit too much credit to Mayo here, because I do think, I'm going to credit them now. They are lacking a touch of quality in both aspects of this. I'm going to come back to the McHugh Fenton thing in a minute, because I have a point on that. That was noticeable off the ball. But the variety of their attack and play was fantastic. Against the wind, they kicked the ball. I just don't think they have the best kick passers. Or a lot of times, they had some players running with the ball with their head down, soloing the ball. That's something I hate. You should be able to solo with your head up, especially if you've got 7 or 8 yards in front of you. And there was a few players who missed brilliant runs inside, right? They also had players, I'm going to pick out Stephen Cohen here and Donoghue McHugh. Now, Donoghue McHugh and Stephen Cohen ended up in front of the D on so many occasions where they shouldn't have been there. And I know players are getting in there and getting out, but it was just blocking up that space inside for Mayo. And McHugh kept bringing Fenton out of the game, but into the bloody full forward line. Why are you bringing one of the biggest men in the field when Dublin are lacking physicality into a full forward line where Aidan O'Shea is? It just was something that was noticeable off the ball, that I just think McHugh's so good on what he did. But that was something, he should have done something different.
A coach thing that's really gone around. If you're making a run, you flush the run out into the full forward line and maybe back around and out if you can.
I don't like it.
Well, when you're waiting in there, I remember like being inside and people
get
used to
get in and then get out there.
You have to go. Or if you're in there, if you do get in there, screen the full forwards, man. Do you know, be a nuisance there. Do yeah. something to help your full forward line player, because otherwise you are just taking up space.
But,
I agree.
This is a separate thing, because off that game, on Saturday in Tullamore, Cork in the second half completely lacked this. Mm. It's unbelievable. They had zero forward shape. The exact same as the Munster semi-final against Kerry.
No idea.
Killarney in April. Matty Donnelly gets man of the match. He's standing on the day in the second half. He's wondering, where the fuck are all the Cork forwards? He couldn't believe it. It was like, I could have went out and played centre-back myself. They had no forwards up the pitch. And I'm just roaring. Even if you're not going to get the ball, drag the defenders up the pitch. Give yourself a shape up front, because it drags the defenders with you. Tyrone were just turning Cork over in the middle because they had no shape up front. And that's why teams are big on get bodies into the full forward line. Doesn't need to be the full forward line. Get the midfielder in there, because you're dragging the opposition with you and you're leaving a bit more space and creating lanes out the pitch. I agree with you, Tommy. You don't fucking just stand there then, blocking up the space for the likes
of or someone.
But that was better than what, at least that was better than what we see from Cork or something. Separate point.
That's a good point. So there was that, right? But they were causing damage with these brilliant little punch passes. Aidan O'Shea is so good at it, lads. Mm. I really appreciate it at the weekend.
It's that
balance, and then a punch pass around the defender who's turning behind the Tommy Conroy who's spinning behind them. Brilliant stuff. So there was the punch passes, there was direct running of Tommy Conroy, which is causing bother. Aidan O'Shea had a huge game. Ryan O'Donoghue's movement, lads, his points he kicked in the second half. I'd love to spend another hour on this. The ability to actually come out there and kick those points, I think, were absolutely huge. Their attack could be sharpened up. The brilliant variety in it. I don't think it's top tier yet, but I think it was very, very impressive in how it was. James, we're talking about their attack not being top tier. Dublin are missing two things. They're missing James McCarthy. They need that physicality. And I know he got minutes at the weekend, but boy, did they need him back really soon. I don't know if he's going to be fit enough to start in 2 weeks' time or ready to start in 2 weeks' time, but that's something I felt they lacked across the pitch. Another player I think they're missing is Davey Byrne in the full back line.
And he's
not somebody I would have picked out before this, but I do think they're missing somebody like that back there.
Yeah.
In what regard?
I agree with James McCarthy one, because he brings so much physicality. Yeah, he sets the intensity. You can tell that when he goes tackling, everyone goes tackling. And even there was a few games last year where if he turned over the ball, he got 10 times the reaction off the crowd than anyone else would get. Do you know? He's such an inspiring player. So whether he's going to be, if he's physically ready to start or not, I don't know. But I agree with that. But look, I've said it 50 times. I don't think that Dublin's full back line is going to hold. It was a couple of those Ryan O'Donoghue points yesterday where he got space so easily to kick him over. Like, there were little handy loops where he got the space very easily. No, it was clever. Ryan O'Donoghue, as we said, is a top player. But I think that is where Dublin could be caught. They're still the best team, but if there's a weakness, it's in there. And like, teams are scoring off them. I don't know. I think if teams actually prepare properly, do their video work, I think that there could be goals going in against Dublin in the latter stages. I hope it's the case, because it would make the championship unbelievable. Put them on the back foot by getting goals. It's there. I think that's the weakness in Dublin.
I think we need a counter in the corner for how many times, James, you're going to hammer this point home. And I hope, for your sake, it comes off for you later in the year, because there are people around the country who text me yesterday and said, James O'Donoghue is going to be so happy with how much joy Mayo got off the Dublin full back line. Paddy, let's get to the positives here from Dublin. Cormac Costello. His movement, his hands, his passing, his shooting quality, and then his patience, the ability to be in the right place at the right time at the very end. The pass he played to Owen Merchant, now I know there were shades of the goal in 19 where Merchant could have gone for the top corner and he hits the bar. When they're reviewing that on Tuesday, and there's a photo that I might put up on screen here, how he doesn't slip that ball to Paul Mannion, who's free at the back post with nobody on him. I don't know how Owen Merchant doesn't do that. But Costello was brilliant yesterday.
Yeah, and he's developed into a real... Lately, he's been around the team for years. You remember, like, the 16 final, he comes off the bench against Mayo. That's 8 years ago. And kicks the 3 points and wins it. So he's been around for such a long time. His quality is always there. We know that. But he's developed into a leader for Dublin, which is important for him. I thought he had a really good year last year. He was man of the match in the semi-final against Monaghan, but then he has a quiet final, obviously against Kerry. So the challenge for him is to keep this, you know, Colly Baskell became, he won an All-Star last year. You know, can Costello, the challenge for him over the next 3 week or three games for Dublin, hopefully, for Dublin's point of view, is that he maintains that level of performance. But the beauty of Dublin's attack is they're not reliant on him to do that every week. That if he was the man yesterday, Conn was quiet, Mannion was dropped, Baskell was back in the team, it could easily be in a quarterfinal. It could be Mannion the next day, it could be Conn, whoever. So that variety in attack is good. But there's no doubt he was very good throughout the group stage, I felt. So that's a positive for Desi Farrell. But I think they were sloppy. The full backline thing, look, for 10 years, people are saying Dublin's full backline is under pressure. I think it is under pressure. It's not just the individuals themselves. I think it comes from being sloppy out the pitch and turning the ball over. So there's no defensive structure. And it's the guys are left one-on-one. I think any team with any full backline is going to struggle if it's one-on-one inside at this stage of the championship because you're playing quality forwards. And I think intensity around the pitch, I agree with James McCarthy. It's not just James McCarthy. It's not like he comes back and it's a light bulb for everyone else. I just think their intensity, and you can kind of say maybe this is understandable, hasn't been at level 10, if no. You would say. Look at last year's All-Ireland final. They tackled the life out of Kerry, starting from the full forward line. We haven't seen anything like that intensity from Dublin yet. And you can kind of say, and we said this with Kerry as well, they haven't bloody needed to do that yet. Mm. Yesterday is a positive in a way, and they'll get a kick in the hole for that performance yesterday from the coaches, from themselves, the standards they have on sloppy turnovers. Yes, maybe defensively their man-to-man battles, they've been under pressure, but they need a bit of a hand with that. But if you're turning the ball over and you're not putting as much pressure on the ball out the pitch, any full back line is going to be under the ball. So it's not a new situation to be in. The positive for them is they've got away with it. You know, they're 30 seconds away from losing that game and Dublin are out this weekend and that kind of messes up their rhythm. So they got away with it. They've 2 weeks. They're back at the Croke Park now. And much like the league final loss to Derry, we've seen a bit of a reaction off that. It's a little bit of a reality check that, yes, you've been able to cruise through large parts of this season, but that time is over now. And they're experienced enough to know that. So
let's get to possibly the most important 17 seconds, 34 seconds in the championship this year. The ball, the foul is given at 71-33.
Harsh free. Very harsh free. A great win.
I still think he's getting the point because he's skinned up on McGarry.
Yeah, he probably still gets a point, but no, so, harsh free at that.
Foul given 71-33. 45 seconds later, the ball crosses the crossbar. It actually takes Cluxton 17 seconds to get the ball off the tee. And from when he gets the ball off the tee, it takes another 17 seconds for Cormac Costello's ball past this point to go over the bar. Two 17-second spells there, right? The second one, it's Cluxton, that epic catch from Kilkenny, an even better plant and slip pass to Jack McCaffrey, that incisive burst and 1-2, instinctive 1-2 at Baskell. He doesn't even think about it. He's actually open in front of the goals and he slips it to Costello. Himself and Dermot O'Connor both slip. A lot of players slipping off the ball yesterday. I don't know what the hell was going on. The surface was a carpet. They both slip, but Costello crucially regains his footing and slips the ball over the bar. Do you both give more credit to the Dubs for executing that move, or do you crucify Mayo for not holding on to that lead? They had 17 seconds to get whatever message they needed to get it in. They needed to get that in. They had 17 seconds to get it right. It took 17 seconds for Cluxton to get that kick out. Was that enough time, Paddy Andrews? Credit or crucify? Who are you going for?
I always want teams to push up. And I know Kieran McGeaney had been in his bonnet about this yesterday, speaking off the ball. I think Mayo, and to be fair, you can see the camera does cut to McStay and he's screaming at them to push up and they push up on Cluxton's kick out. I agree with all of that. I think they should have done that. That was the right play. My fault with Mayo is you cannot allow someone, as brilliant as it is from Kilkenny, you cannot allow someone to catch that ball, Kane. By hook or by crook, whatever you have to do, that ball is broken. And if the ball is broken, the ref's going to blow the whistle and the game's over. You cannot. There's 10 bodies there. Somebody needs to do whatever you need to do to stop that ball being one click. Like, brilliant from Kilkenny, incredible. But he's not 6'8". You know, somebody needs to stop that. That's my fault with Mayo. But the theory or the rationale behind, we're going to push up and force Cluxton long, 100%. I always say that is the right thing to do. That's my fault with Mayo, that they not having the street smarts or whatever you want to call it. You do not let someone win that ball clean. It's brilliant from Dublin after that. It's brave, as Jimmy alluded to, but they're always going to do that. We know Dublin are going to do that. They'll take risks. Cluxton, there was no two ways about it. He's like, put this down. I'm kicking it out. It's up to you fuckers to win it, because they back each other and Kilkenny does it.
And that's what Max Day was furious about after the game. And he had a brilliant way of putting it. And I must actually clip it and put it out. He says, you kill him, you maim him, you do whatever you can. You do not let that ball get out. Like, I don't care if it's cynical.
I wasn't as blunt, but that is my fault. And it's not McStay. He's pushing the players up. You can see it. And the players are pushing up, doing all the right things. But somebody, you stone cold stunner, karate chop, you do not let someone win that ball cleaner.
And that was my point on it, Tom. I don't think that Mayo were in that mindset of do whatever we can to stop them getting the ball. I think they were almost like, lovely, we got a point, next kick out. And it,
surprised they were in that position?
It was like they didn't prepare for it or something. Because McStay, I thought McStay was shouting in, get back. That was my taking of it, that McStay was shouting from the sideline, kind of get back. It's like they hadn't prepared for this last kick-out option. Like when, like the Dublin Mayo final is the one that comes into my head, where literally the Dublin boys just grabbed the Mayo for it. Like, you are not getting this ball.
Kill everyone.
But when you say they had 17 seconds to get a message in, I don't think you're getting any message in at that stage, Tom, because fellas are tired, the panic of it, the rush, the adrenaline, it's very hard to actually get a message in at that stage. Plus, you got to play it yourself to an extent as well. You can't be looking over the sideline kind of going like, will I get back? Or will I go forward? Will I jump or not? You know, it has to be prepared before that moment happens.
You're right. It's that situational training. And I asked Desi afterwards, was it a set piece move? Because it just reminded me so much of Cluxton picking out Howard, who found Jack. There was just elements of it. And I know you can't predict exactly how something's going to happen, but where McCaffrey positioned himself to receive it and where Cluxton picked it out, like, I just don't think it was a fluke that ended up in the pause that the people had ended up in.
That's what McCaffrey plays like anyway. Whoever wins it, it's like, I'm going here. I'm coming off you at 100 miles an hour. So if you win it, the opposition is in trouble. And it's brilliantly executed after that. But Pascal, you think he could get turned over. The whole thing, and Jimmy said it earlier on, the praise I would give Dublin in that bracket and knowing it is, don't doubt anything, just go. This is it. Back each other and back yourselves and attack.
Yeah,
and that's for Cluxton. There's no looking around. Oh, Jesus, Mayor pushing up. This guy is a genius. It's just like, I'm going long. You guys deal with this, and there's no ambiguity from anyone on the pitch. And then whoever wins it, you know, you're going to have two or three lads coming off you like 100 miles an hour, and when they go, everyone else on the team is going, they're going, I'm sprinting. And that is just, there's no ambiguity from anyone in the team. It's attack.
Yeah. I don't know whether it's because I'm so brainwashed from listening to you over the years and wanting teams to play like that as well. I never considered that Mayo should have just retreated from that kick out and just sat the whole way back.
Galway did against Armagh.
And that's the segue that I'm getting to, because we need to talk about this game as well. Tom O'Callaghan kicks a wide where he should probably kick a point, but Galway too clear.
Yeah.
Galway retreat. So Armagh get that kick out. We could have done another 20 minutes in that Dublin Mayo game there, but we need to get into this. Armagh get that kick out and they attack with conviction. They move the ball down the line, probably a little bit too easily. Usher O'Neill has a lovely little hand pass. Soupy Campbell's involved and he puts the ball over the bar. Paddy, we both have kind of caught up in this game. James, you were sitting watching it. I lost coverage in the hide for the last 10 minutes, so I was blind just following the results on the app.
Mm-hmm.
What happened here? Galway were in such control with 15 minutes to go.
Galway had played
five up in the last quarter
perfectly. They went up 13-8 after 55 minutes. And
so smart in the first half against the Glimt.
Yeah, I was thinking this game is done. Armagh were only 50% shooting accuracy from play. So they missed some bad chances, especially at the start of the second half. Against the wind, they found the wind very hard. But then if you give Armagh a sniff, they'll take it in fairness to them. And Conor Gleeson kicks the ball out. They get a goal off it. Then Rian O'Neill comes in and kicks an absolutely inspirational score outside the right over the black spot, and it gives it the fist bump. And you knew every tackle then had twice the intensity. They hit twice as hard. And I was like, Galway are in serious trouble here, because Armagh just had their backs up. Another kick up by Conor Gleeson, intercepted over the bar, and then anything could happen from there. The wind was very strong. Shane Walsh was standing over free then the last minute, which is like redemption for last year. You know, after he missed the free late on, he stroked it over. And then it was just a case of, and this is, it comes down to teams being able to score when they really have to. It's the only criticism I'd have of Armagh at times is sometimes they don't go after the game. They do a lot of feeling a team out and they'll kind of hang in there. That's why they have so many draws. But like when they actually need to score, I think they have so much quality to get one. But they just seem to hang back a little bit until they really need it. But when they got the great score.
That Ulster final, they were in Galway's position against Donegal and they didn't score in that period. They were wasteful, but to be fair to Soupy Campbell, and this is where I'm not just saying on the back of yesterday, I don't like teams dropping off. I don't like it. It's inviting them on, particularly a team with as strong a runners as Armagh. But on the scale of that match, take it out to finale, and look, the reality is the kick-out steals and Conor Gleeson, those couple of intercepts, that changes the game completely. I thought Galway were very good, I have to say. I know Armagh have topped the group and it's brilliant for them. They're into Croke Park. And of all the teams that probably need an extra week off with the injuries, it would be Galway. But I think they've got a good draw for next weekend. They got a bad draw last year. They had to go and they had to play Mayo and their season ended. They will beat Monaghan next weekend. I was very impressed. I thought Galway were a better team throughout that game yesterday, even without Comer. They've got McDade back, still feeling himself out. Kelly's back. Brilliant resilience from Armagh, and I get that. And they'll fancy their chances of whoever comes out, the fact that they're seeing it, that they can get to a semi. But I was very impressed with Galway as well. No?
Oh, sorry. Maybe I misheard what you said there, but maybe I'm just thinking on my own point. But it's what you made earlier on about Mayo. I don't think anyone's winning the All-Ireland from the preliminaries this year. Like, Galway, if they beat Monaghan, it's Donegal, Dublin or Kerry. They're the only teams they can get.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's where you can see Joyce's frustration. I thought they were a better team yesterday.
With Galway, there's something about Galway that they're missing. I agree. I think that they're
missing bloody Damien Comer. That's what they're missing.
That is actually what they were missing, right? They didn't have a forward who actually fancied it. As I said, I can't remember who we were talking about earlier, but it's like they were happy to do these long, kind of long-winded scores and maybe get a shot off. They're missing that greedy fucker inside who wants to score and shoot.
Finnerty was heavily
strapped. I think that's the point. Like,
he played all right. But he was okay. Shane Walsh, right, is obviously an outrageous player. But he kind of in and out of games. And if it comes to him, rather than...
That's the way he is, Jimmy. It is.
I think if they had someone, and that's why Comer is so important. He wants every ball. He wants to score and get fouled and be up with the crowd. I think he's so important to them because without him, they're missing something in the attack. They were over on all those for teams. Minutes.
Yeah, but they're happy enough doing that as well, Jimmy. Out of those eight teams that are in the preliminary quarters, if Comer is back for Galway, they can win the All-Ireland. I don't think any of the other...
He's not back at all, is he?
No. He won't be back. The word is Comer won't be back.
What's the injury?
Final.
I'm speculating. I think it's a bad hamstring injury, like a grade 2 to 3. Like, that's the word.
They ain't winning it without him.
He'd be under serious pressure.
Strap him up and get him back out there.
It's never a great three.
My understanding was that Rob
can't
Finnerty.
Be a great three. Great
my
two.
Understanding, I've got decent Galway contacts. My understanding in the build up to the
head correspondence.
Heavily strapped Robert Finnerty would be in action, and he was, and fair play to him. He turned up and
played very well. Yeah.
He did, but he was still restricted.
Not himself. But
I had word that Sean Kelly would be lining out, even though he was under pressure to. The same word. Is that Damien Comer is under serious, serious pressure to play again for Galway this summer. So that is unfortunate.
Well, he got injured. He got injured in what game?
Derry. Derry, yeah.
in the Derry game, which was two. How many?
Three weeks ago.
He'd be back for a semi. Definitely.
You can be sure.
If they got there.
Hook it to my veins. Get something. Get inject. I don't want to feel the leg. Just get me on the pitch.
I can't remember there, Comer playing unstrapped. I just think of Comer like fucking Terry Butcher playing for England, like just blood hanging off.
You can be sure.
Big Terry Butcher. Whoa, phenomenal.
He'll be doing everything he can.
Blood
to get back.
And strappings everywhere.
Hopefully he does get back because he is.
Right, great weekend, lads. We'll have to.
That'll be
weekend.
We've got so much to talk about. We are going to hold fire on Cork and Tyrone because we have the members pod to talk about both of those teams on Wednesday. We have got so much more to talk about. Are we missing some other big result? I think we are. Like Loud, we're going to be talking about Loud and Tyrone at the weekend on Wednesday. Cork are playing Loud. So, sorry, Tyrone Roscommon, Cork Loud, Galway Monaghan, Mayo Derry. We'll be looking forward to them on Wednesday's pod. Any last words, lads, before we leave? Sorry, last word has to go. The Aidan O'Shea breaking the record championship appearances the weekend. That's an unbelievable achievement. I think it's worth a special mention here.
90
games. Overtaking Sean Kavanagh. Made his debut against New York in 2009. Ed McGreal, a Mayo journalist, was tweeting this. He missed only one championship game since that debut. He was recovering from osteopubis. In 2012, and he missed the semi-final against Leitrim. We played the other games that year.
That's so going for a man his physique as well. Those big, strong players, you pick up a lot of injuries. That's what
That man has never, ever missed a game through suspension. Injury suspension.
He's not a dirty player.
You know, so, but even like if you think about the physicality he plays with, never reacted, never once lashed out. Never once missed a game. That's serious service that he's given to his county over the years. And if he's to go all the way, would it be 94, 95 this year? We'll wait and see on that one. So
I think if Mayo had gotten over the line in one of those finals, he'd have such a different reputation. He gets so unfairly treated, I think, for the ability. You can tell he's a good teammate. Everyone speaks highly of him. 90 appearances, like the amount of effort, work, looking after yourself that takes, incredible.
You don't play 90 fucking championship matches for a team competing to win the All-Ireland over pretty much the entire period unless you're a serious player. And seems to be, I know even within his own county, which is probably I don't know if he gives a shit what people from other counties think, but within his own county, there's times he's been questioned over the years as well. That seems to have gone. I think the reaction and appreciation from the Mayo supporters in the majority seems to be there with Aidan O'Shea. Obviously, a big rival of mine and yours, Jimmy, for our teams. But you do have to say, to play 90 championship matches, and that he's still integral to what they're doing. He's not hanging around the edges. He is still central to Mayo. That's a credit to him. And he'd be hoping there's a few more left.
What'll he get to this year?
93.
A semi.
You think they're getting to an All-Ireland semi-final?
Oh,
yeah. Max. James, how many will he get to this year?
I think Max. 91. I think 91.
My God.
I don't know. That's a big call, but we'll see.
Reconvene on Wednesday.
What a way to leave the pod. That is the perfect position. Paddy Andrews, I will see you tomorrow in the kitchen.
I'll ring it. I've got to go in.
Lovely. See you later. Paddy, James, good work. Talk to you later. Looking forward to the pod.
I'll chat to you during the week, boys. Go on. Au revoir. Bye-bye.
See you later.